But the story I do want to tell happened 50 years ago. Coincidentally, 50 years ago this month. It was May 1973. I was 19 and just finishing my freshman year at U of I in Champaign. My brother, Nick, who's a year older than me and was finishing his sophomore year at IIT in Chicago. Our parents had abandoned us a year earlier. Well, not really abandoned us, but my dad got cancer, and he and mom moved to Phoenix, Arizona, the day after I graduated high school in Chicago Heights. So Nick and I decided that finishing the school year, it would be a good time to take a road trip home and see the country while we went to our new home in Phoenix. So it seemed like a good idea at the time. Nick was actually going to move to Arizona. So the plan was he would pack up his Ford Galaxy 500 with all of his earthly possessions, drive down I-57 and pick me up in Urbana, and we would be on our way. Unfortunately, our final schedules did not coincide, and he wasn't going to be able to pick me up until a day and a night after my residence hall was officially closed for the summer. So I had to jump through hoops and get special permission to stay in the dorm alone, practically alone, in a huge, cavernous, empty residence hall. And the nighttime portion of that was the scariest. I was creeped out. I tossed and turned all night long until finally at 4 o'clock in the morning the phone rang, and that creeped me out even more. But it was Nick, and he had gotten to Champaign a bit earlier than he thought and wondered if he could come up and sleep for a few hours. By this point I was pretty irritated, and I said, "No way, you can sleep in the car." And I slammed down the receiver. And I immediately thought, this is no way to get this trip underway. And he thought, what have I gotten myself into? But the next day we did get the trip underway, and we made it as far as the western edge of Missouri. Again, we did not have a restful sleep. We slept in the car. I slept in the front seat. Nick couldn't sleep in the back seat because it was full of his stuff. He said he would sleep on the ground outside. We were in a parking lot. And there must have been a grassy area. He decided eventually that the grass was too wet and too buggy, and he slept on the hood of the car. So Phoenix is 1,635 miles from Champaign, and my brother drove all of those miles himself. I apparently was perfectly content to just sit there and stare out the window. And I was doing just that the next day on our way down some road in Arkansas or Oklahoma. And I've got my feet on the dashboard and daydreaming out that front window when all of a sudden this massive, huge bird just smashes into the windshield. And it didn't just bounce and leave a mess and bounce. It just stayed there and languished in the mess, and it was the most disgusting thing I had seen in my 19 years to date, and all I could do was sit and moan and groan and whine about this horrid view that had come in front of me. And my brother was sympathetic, and eventually when he could, he found a service station to pull off to and had the attendants, you know, full service. They cleaned the bird mess off the windshield, and Nick asked them to check the oil while we were there. Checking the oil seemed like a good idea at the time. It was later on that day, as we were barreling down the highway in the dusty panhandle of Texas somewhere, that, and the windshield was squeaky clean, but the hood of the car that Nick had slept on, the hood that we thought the gas station attendant had secured after checking out, came flying up without an ounce of warning and smashed into the windshield and just stayed there, completely and utterly obliterating our view of the road ahead. And I, of course, did not keep my cool. I said, pull over, stop the car. And Nick yells at me, I can't pull over, I can't see the damn road, and you need to calm down. I'm like, okay. Well, he did pull over the car. He managed to careen his head out the window and was pulled over to the side of the road. And he managed to get the hood pulled down, even though it had a huge dent across the middle of it. He got it to click shut, and then we limped our way to the next gas station, where he secured it with a rope. So, we were good. But what a day. I don't know where we slept that night, but we certainly deserved some cushy accommodations and a good night's sleep, because the next day we were going to drive all the way to Flagstaff, Arizona. And that meant going all the way across the long, never-ending, boring roads of New Mexico. That's just my impression. I had never seen scenery like that, and I just couldn't believe how barren everything seemed. Well, it was in the middle of all that nothingness that Nick and I realized there were flashing red lights behind us. Then there were flashing red lights to the side of us. And at long last, these fugitives on the lam were finally caught. This long-haired hippie driver in the beat-up Ford with the hood tied down with a rope and the rear end practically dragging on the ground from all of his possessions. And then there was that girlfriend riding shotgun. She looked suspiciously stoned or something. So they're like, can we see your licenses? Illinois, huh? Here are you home. We're going to need to look in the trunk. So next thing you know, Nick and I are standing on the side of the road in New Mexico while the cops take everything out of the trunk of our car. Yeah. And the back seat of the car, they're rifling through the glove compartment, and they didn't find anything. There was nothing to be found. So they went on their way. Nick was fuming. I was not too happy about this either. We put everything back in the car and got on our way. Nick was still fuming. I mean, he was grumbling for miles. There practically was smoke coming out of his ears. Finally, he blurted out, "You gotta cut my hair." I'm like, what? Nick had been growing his hair out for 2 long years, ever since he had graduated our Catholic high school, where they mandated short hair around guys' ears, and I can believe he was thinking of cutting it. Well, it turns out that he had heard from our mother that Dad was not going to be happy if he showed up there with his long hair. So, you know, our dad was a good man, good father, good provider. He was raised with the notion that matters, and you know, appearances matter a lot, and manners matter a lot. And he was there with his new job, new colleagues, new friends, and he didn't want them meeting or knowing that he had a long-haired hippie son. So Nick knew we had less than 24 hours. He knew we were headed for trouble if we didn't get that haircut. So with this cop stopping him, most likely because of his hair, it was time for me to cut the hair, and I was going to do it when we got to Flagstaff. So we finally got to Flagstaff. It was long after dark. And Nick decides this is the night to pitch the tent. I didn't even know he had a tent in the car. I didn't know he had a tent in the car until it appeared on the road in New Mexico. So I had no idea how to do this, and Nick was confident he could do it himself in the dark. This is the single happy memory of this trip for me, was sitting outside the tent, watching him put the tent up, illuminated, his silhouette was illuminated by a single flashlight. And so I'm witnessing this shadow trying to put one pole into the other, and then the canvas is falling down around him, and he's punching it back up so he can get the poles. And I'm just laughing hysterically. And he has a different view of all this, of course, and he's getting pretty irritated with his dead weight of a sister. But she needed to cut his hair. So he got the tent put together. I got in there, and, you know, I'm starting to cut his hair. no training, dull scissors, light of a flashlight, and I take off an edge, and he's like, you got to cut more, cut a couple inches more. So I go at it again. He goes, more, cut more. So I go at it again, and he finally decides that that was enough to ease the wrath of Dad. And we slept soundly that night, because we were going to be home the next day. Home to Phoenix. Phoenix, where the temperatures reached 110 degrees that summer, and stayed there. And Phoenix, where if you leave your car in the sun, you're going to burn your hands on the steering wheel. But also Phoenix, where our mother was so glad to see us, so relieved. She wrapped her loving arms around us, so glad her babies were safe and sound at home. And then there was Dad. Dad just stood there. He didn't say anything for the longest time, and finally he said, it's going to be awfully hot here with that long hair, isn't it, Nick? Yeah. The next day, Nick went and got his hair cut by a professional. He got it cut short, high school short. It seemed like a good idea at the time.